We're in lesson 46 in the book of Ephesians. And last week we left off in verse 12, but we're going back to verse 12 because there's a lot of things we did not cover. And we're actually starting in verse 12. But it says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, one thing about it is, the easiest way to understand verse 12, as we shared last week, is that pastors and teachers and evangelists and so forth are for perfecting the saints of the body of Christ and to edify them and build them up. It's going to be, they're going to have to be fed. You come here each week. You know, you study your own Bible. You're feeding. You're being fed or you're feeding yourself. Now, it's important to understand that perfecting the saints, the purpose, the goal, the aim of a pastor and teacher, if you will, or evangelist, is perfecting the saints so they'll go out and do the work of the ministry. You know, I appreciate it last week when we was talking in discussions that, you know, you was talking about, hey, we're like co-pastors with you. You know, and in all reality, you are, because you're doing the work that you're supposed to be doing out there, and you're teaching and stuff. The issue of the local church and the issue of the ministry is going out and training leaders and training faithful men who will teach others also. Hold your finger there and go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. This is a very important verse that we use in the school that I went to, Grace School of Bible. Which, by the way, you're being taught through Grace School of the Bible. Believe it or not, you're getting the same curriculum that I got when I was going through the school. So whenever we do tests and stuff, you'll know the answers and get 100%, right? Right. Now, 2 Timothy 2:2 says, And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others. Can you see that perfecting in the saints in that same passage? Can you see what? So when you teach people, you have faithful men to be able to teach others. So how do you build upon this ministry, this local church, is that you take this doctrine, you take the teachings, and you teach somebody else. And then they teach somebody else, and that builds upon you, builds upon the ministry. But that's doing the work there. And it's very, very important with that. One of the keys when we try to do outreach ministries, and many of us have done outreach ministries, and many of us do outreach ministry within this ministry, and when you try to get the work of the local church going, you need to train people. You need to train to be leaders. Not just, not just participants. We all want to have leadership, and every one of us has leadership abilities within inside of us. We may not have tapped into them yet, but at the same time, each one of us can contribute to what we're doing here. Now, the word perfecting, what do you think it means?
To make complete.
To make complete.
Equipping.
It means to mend a thing, to make it fit, to equip, to put together in order. That's what perfecting is. So literally the idea is putting it into working shape and getting the thing working right. So that takes some time sometimes, don't it? You know, it takes some time to perfect things. In Mark chapter 1, look how it's used in this sense here. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. It's translated a little differently, but the sense it's illustrating what the word means. Mark chapter 1, verse 19. There's two people in your Bible says, follow me. You know who they are?
Christ and Paul.
And here's one of the things it says, Jesus said unto them, come ye after me. Said unto them, now who's he talking to in the book of Mark? Verse 17.
The disciples.
Disciples, okay. And he says, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And then he says, straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. Verse 19, and when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship. What are they doing? Mending their nets. They're sitting there, and they have these big giant nets. Now, why would you mend a net?
It's torn.
Or okay.
So it's effective, really.
So the reason they would mend this thing is has a hole in it, okay? Or isn't working right, so they're fixing it. Now, the word mend in the Webster 1828 dictionary says this: to repair a breach, to supply a part broken or defected, to mend a garment, a road or mill dam, a fence, to correct, to set right, to alter for better, as to mend the life and manners. The other one, it says, to grow better, to advance to a better state, to improve. We say a feeble constitution mends daily. A sick man mends. You ever heard that? Are you on the mends?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why? Because he was sick. You needed to get better, right? You needed to perfect yourself. In case of the net, they're weaving it back together. But what is the purpose of mending that net?
So they can catch more fish.
They can catch more fish. That's what the purpose is. And what happens to the fish in the net? They get caught, don't they? You know, so you're catching and they stay in the net. Now, how many ever heard or have done, went seining?
Seining?
Seining.
Ginseng?
No, that's ginseng. Seining. A seine, it's a net. It's a very fine net. And when you grew up fishing and wanted to go camping and stuff, we didn't have the luxury of going to Dan's fish tackle shop to buy bait. Okay, so they sold a seine net, was about 4 feet, you know, 4 feet by 4 feet or so, and you put it on two sticks, and you got in a creek bank, okay, one of you held the net, three or four of us went up there about 10 or 15 feet above, and you muddied the water, okay, and then you stomped the banks and rocks and that brought minnows, crawfish, salamanders into that net. And then you picked it up like that and you put it in your bait bucket and you kept it at the bank the next morning when you went fishing. That's how we caught our bait, and that's called a seine net. Well, many times if you rolled that, many of us rolled that net up, we couldn't care about the next day or next week. We were just pulled up and thrown it back in the truck. Well, it started tearing. So you didn't think about that, but the next day you got out there, or next week, whatever, you rolled it back out, and there's a big old hole in it. And you're trying to hold that. You didn't mend it, you know, the right way, and you just, you know, try to get half of saying that, and next thing you know, half of all the stuff's falling out of that hole. You could take fishing wire or line and mend it, but still it didn't work if you didn't take the time and do it right, because it took weaving, you know. I remember mentioned about darning your socks. You know, how many still darns the socks?
Not my wife.
Not her. You know, but would you sit down and do it yourself? Would you sit there and take a needle and thread and have you done that? I have. You know, just to turn it upside down, just to get another couple years out of it. You know, but sometimes it's cheaper to buy socks. But that's the same thing as the minute. Now, when it gets to the heel, I'm totally lost on the heel because it would look like that instead of like that. But the case of that, what the purpose of the nest is, the purpose to catch fish, you mend it so it works right. Okay? You understand that? So it is working. So if it's not working properly, so you mend the thing, just like I was talking about that same net, You have to mend it properly or it's not going to work. And you get frustrated, you know, and that type of thing. And that's when you end up using worms or, you know, oatmeal or that type of thing to go fishing. Yeah, oatmeal for catfish. Yeah, you put it in a ball and you put it on your hook and you throw it out there. And you haven't lived, have you? You know,
obviously,
hey, I used to love to fish in Virginia mountains, trout stream and stuff, and I'm telling you, you could have the world crashing down on your shoulders, and you step out there in those streams and fish, and it's just like, it's gone. For a period of time, you're in just, you know, whatever. Anyway, I haven't fished in a long time. I live right here beside a little lake, that type of thing. But look, if you're taking the saints and you are causing him and bringing him to a place that he works properly, that's what we're perfecting the saints here. It's my job to do that, and it's also your job to do that. Okay? And when he works and functions and operates according to what God created him in Christ to do. Each one of us is different here in the local church. Each one of us has to be perfected in what God wants us to do. You know what I mean? I can't tell you what to do as far as I want to see you do this, this, this. That's not good. It really isn't. You should want to do that. And I've seen people that had the desire to do it, and I got behind them, and they had gotten the word, and they realized it was a lot of work too, and they just like, you know. And instead of just sitting back and just relax and say, you know, I'm going to step back, they leave or something. You know, they go on to greener pastures, if they will. But, you know, it's sad because you see that working in them, and you just wanted them to work, take your time with it. And I know brothers and brothers that, you know, said, I can do this, I can do this, I can teach this, I can teach this. I'm thinking, amen, praise God, hallelujah. But get the doctrine first. You know, get some ground, yes. And they would just skip over that. And they go on back to their la-la churches and that type of thing. You know, they just, you know, get burned out for some reason. So, you know, if you be perfected, if you will gain the edification in your soul first, then you're able to discern what God has for you and what God puts you in the body of Christ to do. Now, I'm not talking about predestination and all that thing. I'm just saying, you know, before you understood the Word of God rightly divided, you thought you was in the church doing what God wanted you to do, correct? Many of us was. But now that you understand what God is doing, it's like, whoa, you know, this is serious business, and this is what I really need to be perfected. And I say this with love. There's not a person in here who couldn't teach what I'm teaching. There's not a person in here who don't know how to handle the Word of God rightly divided and should be able to teach. My fear sometimes is when you don't take it serious enough and you get around other groups, you know, men or something like that, and have Bible studies from other denominations, and they're going to put you on a spot and you're not going to say nothing. You know what I mean? You know, you need to be bold, and we're going to look at some things here today. You perfect the saints. And you, as a perfected saint, you are developing a capacity and a motivation to work in the ministry in your soul. And you are developing the growth in every one of us when we do that. In result, it's the work of the ministry. There isn't any growth that you grow without a movement. You know what I mean? You can't grow unless you're moving in the ministry. In other words, you can sit there, get fat as a calf, you know, just sitting there, but what good is that? You know, you just sit there and get all this knowledge and all this head knowledge and stuff like that, but you've got to let that work in you and expound it to others. You know, we talked about that in the last couple lessons about, you know, people wanted to point at the preacher up there. It's your responsibility. We're paying you big salaries, you know, to go out here and bring people in here, you know, so that you keep the lights on, you know, so we can keep what we want, this, you know, pay parking lot type of thing. Well, that's the wrong motivation, because each one of us should be out there giving the gospel, one, whether they come here or not. That's not the issue. You know what I mean? If they're lost, they need to hear a gospel, don't they? Now, if they're saved and you talk to them about right division, you can share some things with them. And hopefully they don't think you're a, you know, cuckoo type of thing. You know, many of you can share it with love. Many of us just share with stern and say, this is the way it is. You know, like it or not, that's what God says. You know, I've been down both highways, you know, and seem like both of them gives you the same, results in a way. Either they like it or they don't. I'm a type of person, I just soon shoot straight across the bow. And I can shoot straight across the bow in love, or I can shoot straight across the bow as an enemy. And we're going to look at maybe some things about being militant type of thing. You know my profession. I'm a special commodities relocation engineer. Mm-hmm. I'm also a driver trainer. And I'm dealing with people every day that when I train, they're know-it-alls. And I'm the type of person, I'm like, okay, if you're going to tell me you got 33 years experience, and you're going to tell me you can do this, you can do that, I'm going to hold you to it. And the minute that you have an issue, I'm going to bring it up. And it's not going to be pleasant. For instance, Friday, this guy said he can do this, this guy said he can do that. And I'm big about training when they give me a position to train. You know, I have to go by the book. I'm sorry. Same with you and I with the Word of God. We should be going by the book. And you might have heard me say this before. You know what a DOT line is?
A dot.
Well, yeah. That's what it initially is. It's the big white line before a crosswalk. You with me? You're supposed to be able to see that line when you stop. And people say, well, I'm too far away. There's a reason that line is there, guys. If you pass that line and somebody hits you, they're going to push you out in that intersection and you're going to get killed or you're going to cause another accident. So if you stay out behind that line, if somebody hits you, that's 8 feet that's going to drive you up. You're still within the limits. So this guy, Friday, you know, over the line, I said, you know what a DOT line is? Now, this guy's supposed to be a trainer. Yeah, you know, so once again, you're telling me your credentials, and I'm going to, you're not boasting wine, I'm just going to test you. Yeah, and so he had no idea. I said, you take these training videos, and we constantly, and then I said, what's the policy on ride on red? And he goes, I don't know, but I guess you're going to tell me. And, you know, that type of thing, I'm like, well, it suggests that we do not make a right on red. And if you watch a tractor and trailer, it's very dangerous, even in a car, sometimes it's very dangerous making a right turn on red. You better make sure nothing's coming. Tractor and trailer, they'll go like this, and they'll block, you know, there's a proper way, right on right. That's law. You make a right lane, turn to right lane, turn. You know what I'm talking about. Many will go from right lane to left lane, and this guy's going from left lane to right lane. And it's just, you know, I see this scenario in my head, and I'm thinking, this is a way you get killed, guys. So I don't make a right on red unless it's absolute nothing coming. And then that's my choice. So they don't want us to drive on the shoulders. Or, you know, this time of year, coming in spring, you know how this, you know what a shoulder is? You know, you got a pavement and a shoulder, then
Grass,
there you go. I don't like my truck pulled off on the side of the road unless I pull it off. Don't get my truck muddy. I know that sounds awful, guys. But, you know, you can drag the trailer. You can drag. I tell people, when you're in your tractor, you can get it muddy. You don't have to wear a seatbelt. You don't have to do none of these things because you're going to be accountable to yourself and my bosses. But when you're with me, you have to do these things. If not, I'm going to write you up. Well, he pulls off the shoulder. I said, don't get on that shoulder. Don't get on that shoulder. Don't get on. He said, I'm getting on this shoulder so I can see what's left of me. Well, the intersection, you can see every which way. And then he said, don't go there. So he's getting upset. And I just tapped him on the shoulder. I said, it's okay. It's okay. We'll get through it. You know. But once again, what I'm getting at this is growth produces movement and action. If you're growing the right way, your actions and movement's going to be different than somebody that's going to get aggravated. you know, as far as I know what I'm doing when he don't know what he's doing. And when you get questioned about it, how are you responding? I've responded to things in the Bible about, you know, when it comes to baptism and tithing and all that stuff, I've been taught you had to do it this way. Well, now I'm being taught you had to do it this way. You know, but you believe the Word of God. And this is my authority, guys. This is what's holding me accountable. And if I teach something different up here, you yourself should know that, wait a minute, Ed's teaching something contrary to what the doctrinal statement is. And you can hold me accountable. But the growth in that, and as you grow, and the work of the ministry is produced naturally. Now, I'm going to have to be with this guy this week. There may be times I'm going to bite my tongue. And that's going to be hard. You know, when you're training, and, you know, he asked me how I did. You know, he asked how he did, and I said, you drove good, but you did this, this, this. He's only with me one day. But the experience that he says he's had, see, and people say, that's got to count for something. You know, I'd do this and this. I said, okay, that's fine. But let me see you do it. Let me see you use your experience. So now when you learn the Word of God rightly divided, you got something inside of you that should be promoting that movement and promoting your growth the right way compared to the wrong way that you was doing it. And as you grow, the work of the ministry produces it naturally. You with me? Now you're starting to, you quit fighting it. How many, at one time, when it came to this message, right divided, was bucking it and fighting it? You know what I mean? Think about it now. You had some baggage. You had some big baggage you're just carrying around with denominationalism, religion and stuff. And you're like, that sounds right, but yet it just can't be true. And then you're like, you started seeing it for yourself, and you started studying for yourself, and you started listening, and you started believing it, and you started dropping those bags. And that load got lighter. It's like, wait a minute now, this is true. And as it got lighter, and you started growing more, and you started understanding more, you left a lot of that stuff behind. I tell you, my testimony is that old sardine can with that key that you stuck in there and you had to turn back, remember? And you rolled it back. That's the way my mind was when I made a decision about believing this Word of God. I just want to be right for God. And that's what you want to be. You want to be right with God, not the church or, you know, that type of thing. You have to stand before God. So as that can got rolling, you remember those cans? Some of them still around. You had to be careful sometime, didn't you? How many? You not only get cut, but you break a key off. You know, now you got a pair of pliers and you're ripping it up and down. That's dangerous because you're going like that and take it upside your arm. And you splatter the mustard and ketchup and hot sauce all over you. You know, now you smell like sardines for all day. That type of thing. It's just a mess. But it took a while, but now I believe this. I believe the Word of God. And it's producing, it's slow in nature sometimes. But that inner man is what's got to grow before this outer man can respond to it. And we've been fed, some of us have been fed mixed up doctrine, mixed greens, and, you know, just, what does it call that succotash stuff? Yeah. And what's that soup, goulash? You know, it is good after you know the ingredients, stuff like that. But it's just a mix of stuff, and that inner man's sitting down there, and he's like, you know, I'm still hungry. I need to be fed. I need some words. I need something internally. And that through that internal motivation, the Holy Spirit uses the doctrine in your soul. Now I have to confess. I was watching channel 55.3.
Ernest.
And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. And I'm taping these people walking up, you know, just the little sound bites, and they're sitting there, and he's healing them or whatever the case may be. And then he says, do you have my book on healing? It will help you most greatly. I'm going to give you a book without charge. And then one little lady got healed, and he goes, now come back and tell me next week how that worked out. You know, and many of us don't think about this when we watch that. We think, praise God, hallelujah, they're walking away. You know, that type of thing. But you think about, watch this stuff. Well, that's not the Holy Spirit working the right way. And they asked you, did you get the Spirit last time? You know, that type of thing.
Baby.
Yeah, words and stuff, you know. But look, it's serious. There's two ways to perfect the saint. And the local church is the training ground to equip the Christian to carry out the ministry. If you didn't have a local church, how could you do the work of the ministry? How could you be equipped? And people say, well, I watch everything on the internet. Now, internet's okay, isn't it? I mean, we can learn some things, and, you know, we can watch Brother Richard in Chicago, and, you know, many people around the world we can watch. But where is your local church at? Where is your accountability at? You don't have any. So you can go out and believe whatever you want to believe, but what the local church does here, it holds us accountable in the right way. Should. So the local church is the laboratory and the classroom to learn sound doctrine and to learn to apply sound doctrine to the details of our lives. You know, that's why we continue to grow. We need teaching. You know, I can preach to you. I can teach to you. You can teach to me. You can preach to me. We need that in a classroom setting, if you will, so we can grow. Now, a lot of people says, well, you don't have a church. Well, what is this? It's a church. It's a local church, the body of Christ. You know, you can't have that meeting over here. You need this building. You know, you don't talk about it. They look at parking lots and steeples and stained glass and brick and mortar as a church. Well, I know if I talk to you individually right now, you know that's not to be true. But you would meet under a tree on a hot summer day with a picnic basket and your Bible to have church. I would, if that's the only place we had to meet. But you gain the experience and the application of the doctrine as well as when you learn the doctrine. You know, my position is to lead the church and teach the church, the local church, and the doctrine of the Scriptures. That's why I'm not going to sway from this. Now, we can talk about opinions and all that stuff, and we can talk about books, about the books, about the books. But it's the book that we get the doctrine out of. I am to lead and feed and warn you guys and help you guys grow. It's not that I'm meddling. I hope none of you ever thought that I, you know, would say, hey, you need to do this, this, this. I'm not going to do that. You know, if you got a question or concern, we go to the Scriptures, or I tell you what I think, and you can say, well, okay, I don't agree with that. That's okay. You know, I've not agreed with a lot of people out there in the past and stuff, but they're still my friends. You know what I mean? We agree or disagree. I guess that's the easiest way to say it. But the thing is, it's the doctrine. And the same thing in true is for a local church and of that believer that you guys are about. You know, you want to teach people. You want to encourage people, even in my position and your position too. You think about it, you're teaching people. Your life is a teaching ministry with people that don't understand the doctrine. And you lead and you feed and you warn and you carry with them. 2 Timothy 3. We'll get through this right quick. 2 Timothy 3. Verses 16 and 17. You perfect the saints, first of all, through the Word of God. It's not circumstances. It's not spiritual hoodoo. All Scriptures is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? Why is that? That the man of God may be what?
Perfect.
Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That man can grow up and brought to the end and the purpose and the goal for which God had put him in the body of Christ. And he can be made properly, he can function properly according to the purpose and design of the Creator. If we stay with what God has designed for us in the body of Christ, and you grow the right way, you're going to do the work of the ministry, guys. You know, it's just, you may sit back there and fight, you know, and go home, and I'm not going to do this. But if you allow that word of God working effectively in you, you're going to do some work in the ministry. And how are you going to do it? Well, you must have some words, don't you? You have to have the Word of God, and you have to labor in word and in doctrine, and you have to communicate godly edification to each of them, to us. And it means that you have to teach them from here. That's my position, to teach them. And it also means you have to teach them and lead them in details of their lives and help them out in practical things. That's why when we look at the Word of God, Romans, first five chapters in Romans is deals with what? You remember?
Salvation.
Salvation of what? Justification, okay? That's the first five books. You get that down, you're justified. That's forever settled. You ever notice Paul never brings that back up again? Once you're justified, you're justified. He don't keep hounding it in other books. It's done. Then 6, 7, 8 is about what? Sanctification. Yeah. And 6, 7, sanctification. 8 is glorification. You get a glorified body. Chapters 9, 10, 11 deals with dispensational. Dispensation with what God is doing with Israel in the dispensation of grace. Chapters 12 through 16 deals with what? Application. What you learned in those other books is how you're going to start to apply it in the details of your life. And that's what this is doing. Now, the second book of doctrine that we go through is the book of Ephesians. And that's where we find out about the advanced mystery truths. But you're not only going to be by word, but it's also by prayer. I'm going to finish this out right quick. The word and prayer. And I know many of us has talked about prayers and stuff like that. I'm not going to go in depth with that, but you have to think about something for a minute. How many times do you see those two things going on in the Bible? Word and prayer. Word and prayer. The apostles gave attention to word and prayer all the time. All the time. And everybody that loves the Word of God and that understands the Word of God, they appreciate the Word of God, is going to be somebody that also prays. There's many times I pray each one of you guys. I picture in my mind where you're sitting this today. And when I sit down before I go to work, I got in a quiet mind, I think about each one of you and I lift you up in the Word of God. And it's not that, I expect God to do something for you that day. That's what, not my prayer. It's that I'm thinking about you and I'm giving it back to the Father that I'm thinking of you. And if you don't pray and if your life is not consumed with the issue of constant meditation upon those things, don't they say meditate upon the Word? A lot of people says, I just don't know how to pray. You ever thought about reading God's Word back to them? He loves to hear His Word. You know, He magnifies His Word above His name. In Psalms 38:2, that's something to really think about. We have the words of God, and God thinks, and that's something when you have to have that relationship to the book and to your Savior. And Paul understood that. I'll read it to you. Paul understood that, so the people that worked with him. Colossians 4:12 says, Epirius, did I say that right? Who is one of you a servant of Christ, salute you always, laboring fervently for you in prayers. Colossians 4:12. Why? Why? Go there for a minute. Colossians 4:12. Why does he say, always labor and fervor for you in prayers? Why? That you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Now, wasn't they already complete in Christ? Yes, he was, wasn't he? They were perfected in Christ positionally. Were they not? We always talk about you're already seated in heavenly places. How can I be seated in heavenly places when I'm sitting right here? Positionally, you're already there. Now, Epaphras isn't trying to get anybody more righteous, guys. He's not trying to do that. He's not trying to get more complete or more perfect in Christ. He's just trying to get them to stand perfect and complete in all the will of God, that this position they have in Christ becomes a practical reality and appreciate fully in them. Isn't that our goal when we talk about, you know, I'm going to pray for you today, you know, that this word will enlighten in you and work in you and you appreciate it more. And he understood that his prayers energize the doctrine and the souls. Isn't it wonderful to know that if I pray for Sister Rhonda, that don't it make you feel good? The inner man, like, you know, he's praying. He's thinking about me, you know. And it's not that, you know, hey, I'm the only one he's thinking about. No, it really helps that inner man to know that somebody's lifting up you to the Lord. You know, I get these little messages all the time, say, you know, will you pray for me? Or you know, will you send out a prayer chain because of this? Well, don't get mad at me. I don't do those chains. I don't do that. I mean, people says, will you cut and post this and paste this? And if you love Jesus, say amen and like and all this. Listen, I don't do that, you know.
Then you're not the one to publish your
stuff. Speaking of which, my poor old wife, and when I first met her, she mailed that stuff out daily, waiting on Ed to knock on her door. When she married an Ed. You know what I mean? I'm like, you know, it's like, you know, come on, constantly. And, you know, I believe she still would do that. I saw something come in the mail the other day, and it went straight file 13. But I'm going to leave off there. Next week when we pick up, we're going to look a little bit more about the prayer situation and stuff. But think about some things when you want to edify, you have to go through the Word of God. And to be perfected, it's going to take some time for some of us. You know, I know we all perfect in everything we do and say and do. I know that. And I know as the older we get, the more perfect we come. But there's a reason for we have to come into the unity, into this. So there's, Father, once again, we thank you for the Lord. We thank you for things you've given us through your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.